Welcome to another episode of the Freeland Wrestling Rewind. I am your host, Mike Freeland. And before we get started this week, I do want to let you know that the Freeland Wrestling Rewind is brought to you by The True Penny Show. Catch James True Penny and his cast of wrestling minds as they talk everything about the world of wrestling in Japan. You can find their podcast anywhere fine podcasts are made available. And you can find them on social media as well, on Facebook and Twitter at The True Penny Show. Or, if you'd like to go ahead and follow the man himself, the Czar, Mr. James Truepenny, you can follow him at Sheriff Lone Star on Twitter. All right, guys, welcome to another installment of The Rewind. My name is Mike Freeland, and, you know, this week is going to be a little bit different than other weeks. Every once in a blue moon, I decide to go ahead and have a solo show. And just the way scheduling worked out this week, this is what this episode will be. You will have me and just me for the entirety of this episode. So there's so many things I'd like to get to in this week's episode. And by the way, before we even get started, after this episode, if you would like to continue the conversation with me on social media, feel free to at me on Twitter. I am at Mike Freeland. That's MikeFreeland. I'd be more than happy to go ahead and continue the conversation, the dialogue, and hear your views and opinions on anything that is talked about on The Rewind. All right, so a lot of different things that have really piqued my interest in the last 7 days in professional wrestling. And the first thing I want to talk about is kind of the one that's being talked about, but it's not being talked about, if that makes sense. It's the Ronda Rousey video that was out. So I watched the video and I analyzed it and I went back and I looked at it and I listened to some people on social media, what they had to say. I chimed in on some conversations, interacted with some fans as well. And a lot of people believe it's a shoot. So for everybody who's not aware of what happened with the Ronda Rousey video, she went ahead and she posted a video where she was talking about how upset she is, how the feud, the angle that she's involved in right now is more personal than it is a scripted storyline, how she's tired of the McMahons and the WWE positioning her as more of a character, as an entertainer, than she truly is, which is a fighter, a mixed martial arts fighter. And she used the F word in wrestling, which, oh, that's always a no-no. That's the word fake. And I know that's a very touchy thing for people in wrestling. And in some ways, I get it. I completely understand it. But in some ways, I don't. And I'll get into that after we kind of delve into this in at first. But a lot of people think this is a shoot. A lot of people think this is real. A lot of people think that she's trashing WWE. She's trashing the McMahons. She's trashing the whole business of professional wrestling. But then you got to think about this, you guys. It's wrestling. And the first thing you got to know about wrestling is everything's a work unless proved otherwise. It's a work. The whole thing's a work. You know, they're trying to build up this feud. It's been a heated feud, whether it was on TV or social media or Twitter or YouTube, you name it. But the problem that I have with this is it's like WWE always has a problem with their identity. You know, they say, well, we're PG now. We're in this PG era. There is not a single thing that Ronda is doing that's PG, that Becky Lynch is doing that's PG, that Charlotte is doing is PG. None of this is PG, you guys. A lot of foul language is being thrown around. And I think the WWE would look at it and they would say, well, it's not happening on WWE television. Well, no, it's not, because there's reasons for that. FCC would be fining them out the wazoo if they did this kind of stuff on network television. But you're trying to tell me that you don't think kids of a certain age can't hop on the internet and watch these videos, or they can't jump on social media and see the tweets or see the comments that are made? Come on, guys. WWE, and they are so hypocritical of everybody else and everything everyone else does. But the problem with WWE is they don't know who they are. They are just like the flavor of the month. They basically are like a chameleon. They will take whatever side benefits them the most in the moment. And then once the wind changes and it goes in a different direction, oh, we're going in a different direction too. If you're going to be PG, be PG. If you're not, then don't be that. But you got to figure out which direction you're going in and stick with it. Because from a viewer standpoint, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It just really doesn't. And I know Brock Lesnar, a lot of people have said, well, Brock Lesnar isn't PG, and Brock Lesnar basically says a lot of things and does a lot of things that don't seem to fit within that PG era. You're right, he doesn't. But then Brock Lesnar makes the company a lot of money, and I think the company's willing to overlook some things because of the financial investment and the money that Brock Lesnar brings into the company. And I'm sure Ronda brings in a lot of money as well. But I don't really look at Ronda Rousey as one of those individuals in a wrestling company that the company is being carried by them. You know, the WWE is not on Ronda's shoulders. She's not carrying the women's division. Ronda Rousey isn't the car that's being driven. She's the vehicle that's driving this whole thing. Ronda Rousey's a hood ornament. She's a very nice, flashy-looking hood ornament, but that's all she is. If you look at the time that she is in WWE, from the beginning to the end, it will most likely be no longer than about a year and a half's time. And some people may say she's a flash in the pan. I won't really argue with that. She was given a championship, and we all know championships are given. Let's be honest, guys. No one's literally going out there winning a belt. It's a show. But the point of this is, Ronda was somebody who was a big splash. She was a big name. You know, not only the WWE universe, but the mixed martial arts world, the world of entertainment was very fixated on what she was going to do once she stepped away from MMA, and she went to the WWE. And that was great. And there was a spotlight that was cast upon her for a period of time. Folks, that spotlight has very, very much dimmed. It's not as bright as it used to be. Is she entertaining? Yeah, I think she's entertaining to a certain degree. She's getting the lingo down a little bit better. She's getting the promos down a little bit better. She's doing a little bit more than what she used to do in the ring. By all means, she's not a total package. And anyone says Ronda's a total package in wrestling is I don't know what they're watching. I'd love to have a discussion with him, because she's not. But when it comes to Ronda, I feel like in a lot of ways, Ronda is one of those people who gets her feelings hurt very easily. Just look at the interviews that she did when she lost back-to-back fights, which subsequently ended her MMA career. She took her ball and she went home. She got her feelings hurt. So anything or anytime something gets personal with Ronda, she absolutely lashes out. She whips out those daggers of claws and she just retaliates. This is entertainment. This is showbiz. You have to have some level of decorum about yourself when you're performing. Like I said, I think the whole thing's a work. A lot of people think it's not. I don't know what it is. I'll be honest with you. I don't really care. A lot of people are really captivated by this whole Becky Lynch, Ronda Rousey thing. That's fine. Okay. If that's your thing, good for you. But, you know, take Ronda out of the equation. Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair, Bayley. There are so many Asuka. There's so many wonderful, talented women in the WWE women's division that the WWE doesn't need Ronda Rousey. I mean, if anything, Ronda needs a WWE. Because what is she going to do once she walks away from wrestling? She's not going back to fighting. Everybody figured her out. And that's what a lot of MMA people said. Ronda was successful because people hadn't figured out how to approach the beast that was Ronda. But once they understood her and figured it out, they exposed her something terrible. Is she going to go make movies? Doubtful. She's just not that type of personality. She's not that great in the public eye. She's not that great when she's interacting with people, whether it be a live event or whether she's making public appearances. There have been many reports that Ronda is very awkward around people. And you know what? A lot of people say the same thing about Brock Lesnar. And Brock Lesnar will even say he's awkward around people. Brock even said he doesn't even like people. So let's think about this. You got Brock Lesnar in one situation. You got Ronda Rousey in the other situation. Both are from a very, I don't even know the way you would describe it, a very hard-natured, ground and pound, put my nose to the grindstone and just work, work, work type of people, and they found themselves, they found their niche in MMA. But now, they're not in MMA. They're in showbiz, and they need to understand that you are now an entertainer. Yes, you're an athlete. You will forever be an athlete. but you're an entertainer now. So you got to be able to work the charisma a little bit better. You got to be able to work the crowd, work the audience a little bit better. And I understand her gimmick right now is to be this badass fighter who's going to basically chew people up and spit people out. But I'm not going to watch another Ronda match where she uses 19 arm drags. I don't care. That's not entertaining to me. If I want to watch somebody who's a really, really good wrestler, who was a really good MMA star, I'm going to watch Shayna Baszler. She's really good. And once Ronda walks away from the WWE, whenever that may be, WrestleMania, maybe shortly after that, Shayna's going to come up. Shayna's going to be a star. And WWE is not going to miss a beat in the women's division when Ronda's gone. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with Ronda. Is this a work? Is this a shoot? You tell me. You can find me at Twitter. Like I said, I'm at Mike Freeland. Let me know what your thoughts are. I'd love to hear what your opinion is on this situation. I'd love to know what your opinion are if you think WWE has an identity crisis. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know who they are. That's my take on that. All right, moving on. Kurt Angle has announced that WrestleMania is going to be his farewell match, his retirement match. You know, Kurt Angle has been one of the greatest sports entertainers of all time. I don't think you're going to find many people who are going to argue or contest that statement. He has the ability to simply entertain. Even when he was injured, he was still out there on television. He was cutting phenomenal promos. He was entertaining with the stuff he did with Stone Cold Steve Austin when he did all his impersonations of that, when they were playing the banjos and wearing the cowboy hats. But yet he could go out there and he could have five-star matches, even when he wasn't at his best. And we even see when his career had, you know, a resurgence when he went to TNA. Shout out to Darryl O'Connor. But Kurt Angle is a legend. He is an icon. Obviously a Hall of Famer. I think that he's one of the guys that people will be watching his matches for years to come. He's great on the microphone. He's so engaging because he's believable. Kurt Angle is one of those guys who, when he finally hangs up the wrestling boots, you know that last match that you saw with him, he gave it everything he had. And I'm so happy for Kurt. I'm happy for everything he's done in his career. I think Kurt is very happy with his career. I think when push comes to shove, he's not going to have many regrets. He did things his way. He did things on his terms. You know, obviously, he's probably going to regret the amount of injuries that his body has gone through over the years. But you know what? That comes with the territory. But Kurt Angle, when you look back at Kurt Angle coming from the Olympics, and then he was such a highly contested free agent, he went to ECW for a show, and we all know how that happened. That didn't go over very well at all. And then he obviously landed in WWE and just was amazing. So it's going to be a sad day when Kurt Angle finally walks away, but I think Kurt's always going to be a member of the WWE universe. I think he's always going to have something to contribute to wrestling. I think he's obviously going to be able to go out and do seminars for, as far as public speaking is concerned, about training, about being a winner, about being a leader. I think he definitely has those qualities and attributes. And obviously, he can go ahead and start his own wrestling school if he wanted, or even go down to developmental and go ahead and work with those guys as well. Kurt Angle is, in my opinion, so amazing at what he did for so many years that when his match comes and his match ends, I think the emotions are going to be flowing, tears will be flowing. It's going to be one of those moments that you won't forget. It'll be like Ric Flair's final match against Shawn Michaels. It was amazing. It really, really was. When you think about it, Shawn wasn't in his prime. Flair wasn't in his prime. But those two guys worked it so well. They worked to each other's strengths. And I'm excited to see what's going to happen with Kurt in his final match as well. All right. Like I said, so many things to get to. I have so many opinions on so many things. The next thing I want to get to is Dean Ambrose. It's interesting to me when it comes to Dean Ambrose, what the WWE is doing. Once again, it's that million-dollar question. Is this a work or is this a shoot? Is Dean really going to stay or is Dean legitimately leaving? Now, I don't know if anybody really has the inside track. A lot of the wrestling websites will say, despite everything that's been going on television, yes, it is true. Dean Ambrose is, in fact, leaving the WWE once his contract expires. But why has WWE taken so much time and taken so many liberties with discussing his contract and the fact that it will be ending and the fact that he will not be renewing. Why would they talk about that so much on WWE TV? And why was it when it was determined that he wasn't going to re-sign with the company that he didn't get the stereotypical best wishes, or however they phrase that? No, they want him back. I don't think they want Dean Ambrose to leave. I think they see a lot of potential in Dean Ambrose. But I think they also see a lot of question marks when it comes to Dean Ambrose as well. Whether it be the way he carries himself, maybe he's not that polished WWE personality they wish he was. I mean, we all saw and heard the Stone Cold podcast when he was on there. That was pretty awkward. I don't know if you felt the same way that I did, but I watched it a couple times and I felt like it was kind of awkward. But with Dean, he's one of those guys, he works really well when he's with the Shield. And when they had him doing all these lame gimmicky things, putting on a gas mask, and when he came back from injury and his haircut was different and the goatee, I don't know. Some people thought it would be really exciting to see a refreshed, revitalized Dean Ambrose. He's now on his own. What is the new Lunatic Fringe going to be like? I don't care what the new Lunatic Fringe. I want the old Lunatic Fringe. I want that wild, dusty up hair that looks like he hasn't combed it in a week. The wife beater t-shirt. Wearing a pair of jeans, going out there and just raising hell and having fun. Being the modern day Rowdy Piper. I loved that aspect of him. But when he got gimmicky, when he got more into a character, I just really wasn't feeling it. And I think people backstage also kind of got that impression as well. I also think that when Roman Reigns had to go away for a while to deal with his leukemia, I also feel like they were like, wow, maybe we should look at this Dean Ambrose thing a little bit closer. Maybe we shouldn't let Dean walk. Maybe we should sit back at the negotiating table and talk to him again. And then they had Dean jobbing guys. Oh my God, galore. And then all of a sudden, Dean starts winning. And then Dean gets reformed with his group. And then the group goes to the pay-per-view at Fastlane. And then they win. They put the fists back together. I mean, it's one of those situations where if it's really Dean leaving, I've never seen anyone get a send-off like this before. Never. Which leads me to believe that it's work. And even if Dean, it says his contract's off and he just disappears for a while, or maybe he makes an indie appearance, maybe that's part of the whole thing. Maybe make everybody, maybe work everyone until Dean comes back. Who knows? I don't know. Like I said, WWE is very weird when it comes to that. And not to kind of take a side road here, but WWE recently brought back Bruce Pritchard, which I thought was a very interesting move. Now, for all of you who may not be familiar with Bruce Pritchard was Brother Love in WWE for many years. Bruce joined the company right around or right after WrestleMania 3, and then he subsequently left the company. He came back to the company. He left the company again, so he's on his third stint with the company. There's been many reports that he's supposed to be Vince McMahon's right-hand man. He's supposed to have one of the most powerful positions within the company as far as creative is concerned. Then news reports come out and say that's been overblown. He's been brought in as a consultant. Who the hell knows what to believe? But maybe having a fresh pair of eyes on the creative division inside the inner workings of WWE is something that they need. Maybe having Bruce back will give a different perspective on people like Dean Ambrose, who the company may decide to not want to bring back. I don't know. Maybe Bruce comes in and says, well, you guys might want to pump the brakes on this one. We could really utilize Dean in a different way that you haven't looked at. I love the Shield. I thought it was a great thing. I still think it's a great thing. But once again, WWE does what WWE wants to do. When it comes to Dean, I also think something's really, really interesting. You know, his wife is a commentator on Raw, Renee Young. And Dean leaving, where does that leave Renee? I mean, obviously they're on separate contracts, but isn't that kind of awkward? Both work for the company, then one of them leaves and the other one stays. I know it's happened before, but still, it's a little awkward. And then there's been reports that with the brand new deal, that's going to be going down with Fox. They want to mix things up with the broadcasting teams, which obviously is with SmackDown. Now they obviously are getting WWE to maybe think a little bit differently about the broadcasting team for Raw. Maybe we should switch that up a little bit too. Maybe she's not a good fit for Raw. Not sure. So no one knows what's going to happen. WWE seems to be one of the companies that they're always in flux. Everything's always changing. Stay tuned, because what's happening today might not be happening tomorrow. Will Renee Young stay with WWE? I don't know. I think they would like to keep her. There's been many reports that before she signed on with WWE, that she had some other offers to do other things in broadcasting. And now that she, her husband, may not be leaving, I think she'll definitely have some offers to go other places. I think Dean is definitely going to have offers if he is legitimately leaving to have other options. Impact Wrestling. Man, he could work a very light schedule with Impact Wrestling. Would he want to jump on board with AEW? Maybe. I don't know how long that non-compete is after his contract expires, but might be something to consider. I like Dean Ambrose, former WWE champion. I like the way he scraps and brawls and fights, and I like the way he talks. I like Dean Ambrose. I just don't know if WWE really knows what to do with Dean Ambrose at this point. Does that make sense? Once again, you can go ahead and at me, at Mike Freeland. I am on Twitter. Let me know what your thoughts are on the Dean Ambrose topic. Let me know what your thoughts are on the Ronda Rousey topic. Very curious. Very curious. But I like Dean. I wish him the best. I'm not exactly quite sure what he's going to do, but whatever happens is going to happen. All right. You know, we're on the road to WrestleMania, and things always get interesting as we head down that road. You know, a lot of guys end up coming back around WrestleMania season, a lot of part-timers. You end up seeing a lot of gimmicky matches that come into play just to really grab the audience's attention. Now, as we saw a few weeks ago on Monday Night Raw, it was supposed to be Ric Flair's 70th birthday. You had some former stars come out to the ring. Triple H came out to the ring. Ric Flair, they had the camera back to his dressing room. He was supposed to come out. And then who's there? The Animal himself, Dave Bautista. So that's basically set up from what we've seen this past Monday night on Raw. There's going to be a no-holds-barred match between Dave Bautista and Triple H. Is anybody interested in this? Like, if Batista's just coming in for a WrestleMania payday in one match, is that really what we want to see? I mean, we saw Triple H when he was over in Saudi Arabia. Was that all that great? No. All the guys were 50-plus in the ring, and he still got hurt. Let's think about this. No matter what shape Triple H is in, he's still past his prime. He's not a young dude anymore. He can't go like he used to. It's just not the same. I mean, literally. They're going against The Undertaker and Kane, two very old people. And he still ends up getting severely injured. Is it really a good idea? I don't know. I think there would have been a better way to handle this situation than Triple H versus Dave Bautista. It's a pop match, in my opinion. They're just going to try to go ahead and work the crowd, try to get as many pay-per-view buys out as they can. I mean, they're going to be back at MetLife Stadium. Obviously, they're going to want to sell it out. It's going to sell out no matter who's on the card. Let's be honest. They're in a major market. It's WrestleMania. It's their home. It's NYC. It'll be interesting. I don't know. I like Dave Bautista. I think when it comes to actors, I think Dave's done really well. So when you look at wrestlers who have transitioned into the entertainment world, obviously you're going to have to say The Rock is number one. But I think when you look at this, Batista, what he has done, he's got to be a number two, a close number two in my opinion. I like what Dave Batista has done in movies. Yeah, he is being typecasted as the brute. You know, he's not the comedic guy, he's not the good-looking guy that The Rock is, but I think he's done very well for himself. He's carved himself out a pretty good Hollywood career so far. Nothing to scoff at, in my opinion. But I think it'll be good. I think it'll be really good. All right, I would be wrong if I didn't take a little bit of time and talk about Impact Wrestling. Guys, I really like what Impact Wrestling is doing right now. I really do. And when it comes to Impact Wrestling, it's funny. It's like the little train that could. They just keep on keeping on. Their matches are solid. Their roster is solid. They've gotten a lot of guys that have been locked up for long-term deals. They know who they are. And that's a big thing that TNA didn't. TNA didn't know who they were. TNA tried to be something that they weren't. They tried to be WWE Lite. And guess what? That didn't really work out very well for them, did it? You can't try to be the next whatever, fill in the blank. You got to be the first you. And I think that's what Impact Wrestling is starting to understand now. They're starting to understand, okay, listen, this is the parameters that we have to work within. This is the type of money that we have. These are the people that we have as far as talent is concerned. That's what you do. You work with them. Great roster. Love the additions they've made. Love the additions they've made. It's one of those things that when you look at the roster and you know you don't look at anything else, you just look at the people that are on the roster, Impact Wrestling could easily, from a talent perspective, compete with WWE right now. No doubt. I love Brian Cage. You know, I love Johnny Impact. Eli Drake, fantastic. The women's division in Impact Wrestling, awesome. But then again, it's always been really good. And that's the thing about Impact Wrestling. Impact Wrestling has always had a very strong women's division. And it's one of those things that they've really never lost touch of. And I'm very, very excited about that. I'm very happy that they never lost touch of that. And they got a big event that's going to be coming up. It's really, really exciting. It's called United We Stand. And they're actually going to have intergender match. Oh, my goodness. This is probably putting a big smile on my good friend, longtime personal friend. Oh, yeah. Mr. James Trupenny. Tessa Blanchard and Joey Ryan are going to be going at it. Guys, that's going to be interesting. Joey Ryan is probably one of the most entertaining performers in professional wrestling. He's a damn good wrestler too, by the way. But he's very, very entertaining. And United You Stand is going to come on Thursday, April the 4th. It's going to be coming from New Jersey. And Tessa Blanchard and Joey Ryan. So I think it's going to be a good event. I think that you're going to be able to watch this thing live on Fight TV. I think that's going to be great. I think the more that they're able to expose the brand and make more people aware of who they are and what they are, that's so much better for the company. What they've been doing on Twitch has been awesome as well. Now, I talked to a few people on social media and they were saying, oh man, but did you see when they're on Twitch that the small houses they're playing in, it almost looks like a gym and yeah, they got maybe 100 people or 200 people there. So, how's that a bad thing? I think that's a great thing because Impact Wrestling understands what they need to do. It's a grassroots campaign, guys. They're a company that right now has to prove themselves. They do. They got to prove themselves. But I think they can easily do that. Brian Cage is so good. Desmond Xavier, really good. Eddie Edwards, really good. Fenix, Fala Ba, who just recently signed a brand new contract. Eli Drake, Hernandez Homicide. I mean, I could go down and down the list. Killer Cross is awesome. I mean, so entertaining. And you got LAX and Conan, and you got Moose, who that dude, I'm telling you right now, if he was available, WWE would pick him up in a heartbeat. They would sign him in a heartbeat and not think a second about it. So, I like him. I like what they're doing with their women's division as well. Their women's division is great. Alicia Edwards, Allie. I mean, Kira Hogan. The returning Madison Rayne, Rosemary. Sue Young, Taya Valkyrie, Tessa Blanchard, Jordan Grace. They're great. It's a great division. Great division. And it's exciting to know personally that Impact Wrestling has stayed true to who they are. They've said, you know what, this is who we are. This is what we're going to do. You know, we're not going to change. We're not going to try to be something that we're not. We're going to continue to be us because that's what Impact Wrestling is. It's not TNA. Thank God it's not TNA. TNA would change with the blowing of the wind, just like we talked about WWE would do. But with Impact Wrestling, what I think is very interesting is even though right now they're not doing all that great when it comes to television ratings here in the United States, but they're actually doing really, really well internationally with ratings. Really well. So it kind of begs the question, what should they be more focused on? You know? Domestic or international? Because right now when Impact Wrestling goes overseas, they do well. They draw well. They have great turnouts for live shows. Here in the United States, maybe not so much, because WWE is such a big player. But Impact Wrestling, I like what they're doing. If you're happy with what Impact Wrestling is doing right now, if you like what the roster is doing, go ahead and at me on social media. Let me know. Let me know what your thoughts are. Let me know where you think Impact Wrestling is going to be in 6 months, into a year. Do you think that maybe they're going to see, you know, some type of workings with Impact Wrestling and the new AEW? Maybe. Would that be a good thing? I think it would. Another promotion we don't talk about a whole lot on here is House of Hardcore. I love what Tommy Dreamer is doing over there. Tommy Dreamer has dedicated his life to professional wrestling. He is so dedicated to his staff. He's so dedicated to his performers. Excellent thing that they're doing. And you know what? I'd be crazy if I didn't talk about the amazing promotion that is MLW, Major League Wrestling, and Court Bauer. Holy cow. They're doing huge stuff. Have you checked them out recently? Really, really. Filthy Tom Lawler, amazing. Really good. Check them out. Check a lot of different wrestling promotions out. Because right now, if you're in the United States, or even if you're abroad, don't look at WWE as the be-all, end-all. I think James will be the first one to tell you, please don't do that. Don't do that. That's a huge mistake. That's basically saying, I'm only going to date girls that live in my town. If you're single, that is. No. Drive a few miles. Go out of your comfort zone. Try something new. It's just like a restaurant. Try a different restaurant. You don't like this one? There's another one down the street. Try that one. But I think so many people get caught up in, well, this is what wrestling is, and this is what I'm used to watching, and this is the only thing that I'm going to watch. Goodness gracious. I don't get it. If you're a wrestling fan, you're a wrestling fan. You're a wrestling fan of all things pro wrestling. And once again, just my take on that one. Another thing here, and I mentioned this before about Impact Wrestling, but PW Insider is currently reporting that Impact Wrestling will be holding TV tapings on May 3rd and 4th in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Now, the tapings will take place at the 2300 Arena, formerly known as the ECW Arena. Now, tickets will go on sale March the 21st at 10 a.m., and this is the official announcement that was released about the tapings that are going to be occurring. This upcoming May, United We Stand, after Rebellion, Impact Wrestling will be traveling to the world-famous 2300 Arena for two nights of Impact Live. If this is your first chance to see your favorite superstars from Impact Wrestling, then you definitely have to take it. The former ECW Arena has over 20 years of history. Like I said, tickets will become available Thursday, March 21st at 10 a.m., or you can go at 2300arena.com. I think that's exciting. They're going out, they're branching out, they're trying to do these things. Now, by the way, the 2300 Arena is where MLW tapes a lot of their stuff as well. So that'd be kind of interesting. Might we see a little bit of a crossover? May Kurt Bauer decide to go ahead and call up Impact Wrestling and say, hey, how about we do a run-in? Good business for both companies. Get some promotion going both ways. Why not? Why not work together, you guys? I think the more wrestling promotions choose to work together and cross-promote with one another and maybe do some talent swaps here and there. I mean, it's also kind of a throwback to when the territories were there. You know, a promoter would go ahead and say, I'll give you this guy if you give me that guy for, you know, 10 dates and maybe, you know, a large event. I think it's exciting. But I love what Impact Wrestling is doing. But I think a lot of this is being generated by the buzz of AEW. Now, we haven't heard a whole lot recently when it comes to AEW, but we have heard something that might be associated with AEW. It might not, but you got to think it probably is. Jim Ross's contract with WWE is going to be expiring, and Jim went ahead and announced on his podcast that he is not going to re-up his contract with WWE. He's going to walk away. He does feel like he still has a lot to contribute from the broadcast booth and that he would like to continue to do that. So that begs the question, is he going to do some New Japan stuff? Maybe. Where's he going to go? All arrows point to Jacksonville, Florida, and the home of AEW. And you got to think about this. If they land a TV deal, which all indications are they're going to get one, and they have Jim Ross being their play-by-play with the talented roster that they have already, not to mention the people that are going to be joining it, whoa, things are about to get real interesting around here. Real interesting in the world of AEW. Speaking of broadcast announcers, how about this one, you guys? Jim Cornette, he's back. He's back in the booth, and he's back with MLW. He is now the new color commentator for their television tapings. What are your thoughts about that? Do you like Jim Cornette being back? You know, a lot of people have said over the years that wrestling has passed Jim by, and Jim even said that he thought that wrestling had passed him by. And I think that's very humbling of Jim to say. Now, keep in mind, Jim has blocked me on Twitter, so I am by no means a fan of one James E. Cornette, but I can appreciate and respect his talents and what he's brought to the wrestling industry. He's a very talented man. I mean, anyone who's sitting poolside at Vince McMahon's house going over creative and booking for television and pay-per-views definitely has to have his finger on the pulse to some degree. You know, but Jim had been mostly a podcaster in the recent years, but now he's back. What are your thoughts about that? We saw Jim Cornette and Bruce Pritchard in Impact Wrestling. That didn't work very well. Do we think that this second run for Jim Cornette or third run for Jim Cornette is going to work with MLW? Do you like Jim Cornette? Do you think his views are something that you align yourself with? I don't know. Hit me up on social media. Let me know what your thoughts are. Like I said, I am at Mike Freeland. Let me know what your thoughts are when it comes to Jim Cornette. Let me know what your thoughts are when it comes to MLW, which is really, really cool. I mean, I love what they're doing right now. Love what they're doing. You know, April the 4th, Rise of the Renegades. That's going to be a Fusion TV taping happening in New York City. April 5th is going to be Battle Riot 2. That's going to be a Fusion TV taping, once again, happening in New York City. June 1st, Fury Road 19. It's going to be happening in Milwaukee. And then on July 6th, Kings of the Colossal Fusion. I'm sorry, let me say that again. Kings of the Colosseum. That's going to be a Fusion TV taping as well, and that's going to be happening in Chicago. Gotta love what Brian Pillman Jr. is doing right now with the promotion. He's great. I love Filthy Tom Lawler. The guys right now, and it's so interesting when you look at this, they don't call their superstars superstars. They don't call their wrestlers wrestlers. I love it on their page. They call them fighters. Isn't that awesome? So you got Filthy Tom Lawler, you got Teddy Hart, you got Davey Boy Smith Jr., you got Low Key, Pentagon Jr., Ray Fenix, Brian Pillman Jr. Love Brian Pillman Jr. Man, I wish his father was alive right now. I think he'd be so proud of what his son is doing. Sammy Callahan, Jimmy Havoc, so good. So good at what they're doing right now, and I love the presentation that they're putting out there on television. It's great. Great. Have you been to an MLW TV taping before? Have you been to an MLW event? Let me know what your thoughts are. Go ahead and hit me up on social media. Like I said, I'm at Mike Freeland. Let me know. World Heavyweight Champion, Filthy Tom Lawler. Tag Team Champions, they call them the Hart Foundation. And the World Middleweight Champion is Teddy Hart. For more information, check them out. MLW.com. You can find out everything that's going on right there. You can go ahead and subscribe to their newsletter. You can find about their programming. You can find out their YouTube channel. You can find everything. Anything and everything you want, you can find out tickets as well. And that's where I'm at right now. Really good website here. I'm clicking on here right now. Like I said before, a lot of things going on. MLW 4th and 5th, fan appreciation, 2-day combo package. Thursday, April 4th, 7 o'clock, fan appreciation. That's pretty sweet. That's pretty sweet. It's going to be happening at the Melrose Ballroom in Queens. MLW, Rise of the Renegades. Ooh, that's exciting as well. So many things. You can click on here. You can get tickets, or you can go ahead and just cruise on over to your local Ticketmaster and find all your information with that as well. Man. WrestleMania is coming up. I'm kind of excited. It's just one of those things. It's kind of like the Super Bowl here in the United States. It's one of those things that regardless if you really have a dog in the fight, you still want to watch it. It's still entertaining. But man, MLW, soon to be AEW, what's going to happen with Jim Ross? Where is Dean Ambrose going to land? What's going to happen with all this? Is Seth Rollins going to finally be able to slay Brock Lesnar? Right now is a very interesting time to be a fan of professional wrestling. I like some of the matches that they're doing right now. But WWE, let me tell you this right now. I saw what was considered a preliminary card for WrestleMania. I saw 15 matches on that thing. What's this going to be, like a 9-hour pay-per-view? You're going to bore people to tears if it's that long. Make it a 6 or 7 match pay-per-view. That's just my opinion. What do you think? Do you think WrestleMania is too long? Do you think it's not long enough? Do you like the pre-show? Do you not like the pre-show? Do you like Sam Roberts? A lot of people have been mentioning him to me on social media and in DM messages and saying, Mike, what are your thoughts about Sam Roberts? He's okay. Not that great. I mean, I'm not blown away by him by any means. He's got a good podcast. He's a good interviewer. The facial hair and the hair on top of his head, a little different. But once again, that's his thing. Whatever. It's more important what comes out of his mouth. So be it. But you know what always accompanies WrestleMania? The Hall of Fame, the WWE Hall of Fame. It's interesting. Some people will say, oh, that's so exciting. I love the WWE Hall of Fame. And then some people will say, whatever. For a long time, the Honky Tonk Man had said that it was, if you check out his YouTube videos when he shoots, I believe it's called The Honky Tonk Man Shoots on the World. It's just entertaining. He was basically saying how, I believe it was Paul Orndorff said, you know, I got flown in, I stayed in a nice hotel, I got a nice payday, and I got a $35 plaque that I left in my hotel room. And then that was it. Whatever. So be it. But this year, I think it's really interesting. D-Generation X going into the Hall of Fame. Honky Tonk Man going into the Hall of Fame. I wonder how that conversation went for as much as he has lambasted the WWE. But now it's just been recently reported that the Harlem Heat is going to be going into the WWE Hall of Fame. So let's kind of spend a little bit of time and talk about this. Let's first start off at DX. That's a no-brainer. DX definitely was one of the most influential factions in wrestling history. You got the Freebirds, great faction. You got the NWO, great faction. You got DX, the Horsemen, great factions. You got to believe that when it comes to more than just a single individual getting into the Hall of Fame, DX definitely is deserving of it. They changed the culture. They changed the landscape of what wrestling was. It made it cool. They were anti-establishment. They went rogue a lot of times. They invaded WCW. You saw that infamous video where WCW put the garage door down? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I think they're definitely, they earned their spot in the Hall of Fame. But it's just interesting. Some people like DX, some people don't like DX. What are your thoughts? Do you think they deserve to be in the Hall of Fame? I personally do. Let me know on social media. Hit me up. Like I said, I'm at Mike Freeland. Love to hear your thoughts on that. The Honky Tonk Man.
The Honky Tonk Man.
He's going into the Hall of Fame. The Elvis impersonator with the jumpsuit and the guitar. The slick backed hair. At one point, the longest reigning intercontinental champion of all time. How about that? Honky Tonk Man. I thought he was a great performer. And once again, he was a great entertainer. I thought he was a good wrestler. I thought he was a great character. I think he's definitely Hall of Fame worthy. But I don't think Honky was even that interested in being in the Hall of Fame for many, many years. But now he's going in. You know, I think it's interesting. A lot of times situations change. A lot of times tempers simmer the older we get. We tend to forget about some things that really upset us in the past. And maybe that's the case with Honky. I'm happy for him. It was part of my growing up. It was part of my childhood. I loved watching the Honky Tonk Man. Rhythm and Blues, not so much. Honky by himself, yes, fantastic. Him and Jimmy Hart, loved watching those guys. They were great heels. They were great entertainers. You didn't want to leave the TV when they were on because they were just fun to watch. And the late 80s, early 90s were a great time to watch wrestling. I'm happy for the Honky Tonk Man. You know, but one that has me scratching my head is Tori Wilson. No offense to Tori Wilson. I'm sure she's a lovely lady. Great person. But if anyone can tell me one thing that Tori Wilson has contributed to the wrestling industry that makes her Hall of Fame worthy, that even brings up even a bigger question then. What's considered Hall of Fame worthy? Are there credentials? Is it like the Baseball Hall of Fame here in the United States? Is it like the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio? What are the qualifiers? Oh, wait a minute. Yes, it's not a real sport, so there are no qualifiers. It basically is a popularity contest, and that's led by Vince McMahon. So if Vince decides that Tori Wilson needs to be in the Hall of Fame, well, Tori Wilson will be in the Hall of Fame. Now, is she a good ambassador for WWE? Absolutely she is. But she hasn't really done anything that makes her Hall of Fame worthy. Wasn't that great of a wrestler when she wrestled? Wasn't that engaging as a character when she was just on television? At me on Twitter. Let me know what your thoughts are. Do you think I'm way far off? No, Mike, you're crazy. She deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. Or, you know what, Mike? You're right. She wasn't that impressive. She don't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. Let me know. Harlem Heat. Oh, they're in the Hall of Fame this year. They're going in. Love me some Booker T and Stevie Ray. Love me Booker T and Stevie Ray. One thing I will tell you about Booker T and Stevie Ray is that they were the consummate professionals when it came to WCW. There was a lot of politicking going on in WCW. There was a lot of things that were going on with the Hogan and the Bischoffs and a lot of the different inner struggles with the power plays, but they went out there and they did their thing. They did their thing and they did great. They put on great matches. They were never sloppy out there. They always looked like they were in wonderful shape. I will say Stevie Ray probably got screwed when it came to having to be in the NWO. I mean, let's be honest here. Once the NWO was more than six or seven people and it became like 30 people in three limos, it kind of got a little watered down. But both guys, tremendous, tremendous wrestlers. And when you follow what their lives were like before they got into wrestling, you got to follow that story. It's really, really good. And I have nothing but love for Booker T, nothing but love for Stevie Ray. Stevie Ray's got an amazing podcast. I love listening to that. Definitely deserving to be in the Hall of Fame. Now, will they announce any other people in the Hall of Fame outside of Tori Wilson and Harlem Heat and DX and Honky Tonk Man? Maybe. I'm sure they will. We've got time. But speaking of time, that's all the time that I got for this week on the Freeland Wrestling Rewind. Guys, I do want to let you know that the Freeland Wrestling Rewind is brought to you by the Truepenny Show. Catch James Truepenny and his cast of Wrestling Minds as they talk about all things wrestling in Japan. You can find their podcast anywhere fine podcasts are made available. You can find them on social media as well, on Facebook and Twitter at The Truepenny Show, or you can talk to the man himself, the czar of wrestling in Japan. His name is James Truepenny. He can be found at Sheriff Lone Star. Once again, The Truepenny Show, the reason why the Freeland Wrestling Rewind is available to you. All right, that is going to wrap it up. So if there's anything that I haven't talked about this week that you're interested in hearing about, or you're interested in getting my opinion on, or just something you'd like to have a dialogue about, Mike, I was wondering about this, or I've always had a question about that, let me know. Be more than happy to have that conversation with you. If you want to have that conversation with James Truepenny, he's a walking encyclopedia when it comes to wrestling. Hit him up as well, Sheriff Lone Star. So many other people, Darryl O'Connor, hit him up. You know, Tony Khan, hit him up. They know what's going on. They've been on the show numerous times. Good stuff. Good guys, good minds. If you love wrestling, love it. And if you love listening to my voice, which if you do, oh, God bless you. Thank you so very much. I greatly appreciate it. You can follow me on my other show, which is Front Row Material. I go down the road that was ECW from Philadelphia, the hardcore wrestling that it was. For 7 years, they went ahead and they pushed the limit. I have a podcast with world champions Jerry Lynn and Mikey Whipwreck. You can find us. We are on the MLW Radio Network. You can basically find our show anywhere fine podcasts are made available. Go ahead and swing on over to iTunes. Leave us a review. Let us know what your thoughts are. Definitely DM us and hit us up and let us know if you have any questions that you would like for me to ask the guys. So, that's going to do it. It's been fun. It's been real. Folks, it's been real fun. I'm Mike Freeland, and that's going to do it for this week on the Freeland Wrestling Rewind. We'll catch you next week.